Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Yud Chesem Meseches Ma'id Katan, and the 766th daf in Shas. Today's daf is an important one in terms of Hilchos Chol Hamoed, as well as important references to Hilchos Avelus as well, interdispersed with a lot of Agadita. So we'll talk about shaving when it comes to Chol Hamoed, as well as what one does in a Safek of Hilchos Avelus. Also, we will discuss laundering during Chol Hamoed, and then we will have a Mishnah on Yud Ches and Mebeis that will talk about writing on Chol Hamoed, as well as marriage on Yom Tov, which we already made reference to in the past on Daf Ches and Mebeis. I'm thrilled to be able to return to learn with you. Toch Avira Deret Yisrael. I'm sitting outside. It's a beautiful sunny day here in Ramat Beit Shemesh. But while we enjoy the beauty of Avir Eretz Yisrael, we can't forget that the summer and even this week has been a painful one for many in Klal Yisrael. Let's Bezer Hashem pick up four lines from the bottom and Yuzayin and Beis Tan Rabban. Kishem she'amru asu legaleach b'moed, kach asu litol tziparnayim b'moed. Just like we say that it's prohibited to shave on Chol Hamoed, so too it's prohibited to cut one's nails. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi matir. Rabbi Yossi allows one to cut one's nails. And just like we say it's prohibited to shave for an avel, same opinion Rabbi Yehuda applies for avel as well. Rabbi Yossi matir, and Rabbi Yossi holds its mutter. Amar ula, halacha ki Rabbi Yehuda ba'avel, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to an avel that we're machmir, v'halacha ki Rabbi Yossi b'mayid, and we follow Rabbi Yossi b'mayid that you're allowed to cut your nails. Shmuel amar, halacha ki Rabbi Yossi b'mayid, we follow Rabbi Yossi b'mayid that you're allowed to cut your nails, u'ba'avel, as well as by avel. Da amar Shmuel, halacha kemekel kedivrei hamekel ba'avel, that we follow the lenient opinion when it comes to avels. Now this is an important klal. It's mentioned in a couple places in Shas. We'll have this a few times in our Masechta, and it comes up in Halacha Lemaisa when dealing with Machlokas Rishon, Machlokas Haposkin by Avelus. We have this rule of Hilchas Kedivrei Hamekel Ba'Avel. Pinchas Achva de Bar Shmuel Isra Bei Milsa, the Gemara continues. Pinchas, the brother of Shmuel, had a tragedy happen to him. Ol Shmuel L'mishol Taima Mine. Shmuel went to ask him a question. Chazinu l'tofri to have an efficient. He saw that his nails were long. Amar le, amai lo shaklis luhu. Why did he not remove them? Amar le, Pinchas said back to him, ibidi day, if it would have happened to you, mi mezalzes bekulei hai? Would you have asked such a question? Have kishkogash yotze mipalish, mipi ashal, milifnei ashalit. It was a mistake that had come out of a powerful person, v'isrim be milsa b'shmuel. And Shmuel had to sit shiva. All Pinchas, achve l'mishol. So Pinchas went up to be Menachem Shmuel. L'mishol taima minei. Shaklinu. Shmuel took his fingernails that he had cut off, l'tofrei, chavtinu la'ape, and he threw it in front of him. Amalei, and he said to Pinchas, leslach bris krusa l'sfasayim. Not hold of the power of lips to make a covenant. In other words, your lips that you had said has the power to create this phenomenon. When you answered me the response, ibididehavi, mi mizalzes pe kule hai, then you unfortunately created that decree against me. Dam Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan taught us this rule, which is a very, very important rule. It's well known, the concept of tzaddik gozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim, but Rabbi Yochanan over here speaks about the power of speech becoming a reality for everybody. Minayin shebris krusa l'sfasayim. How do we know that a bris, a covenant could be made, a reality could be made due to lips? Shenemar v'yemar Avram al na'arav shvulachem poyim hachamor v'ani v'anar necha al tko v'neshtach v'neshuv aleichem. Avram Avinu said that he was going to come back after bringing Yitzchak for the Akedah and return with Yitzchak. How could that possibly be? At the end of the day, he was planning to bring him as a carbon. But because he formulated it as if both are going to return, v'estayim milsa d'hadir tavayu, and it came out that both of them returned. Now the Gemara returns to the halachos themselves. Savor mine, the Chachamim thought that this, that Shmuel was matir to cut one's nails, the yad in, that would be permissible from the hand, the regalo, but not from the foot. Why? Rashi explains, because from the hand is more most, is more disgusting.
But I learned that the way to understand the Shmuel, loishna the yad, loishna the regal, that both of them are mutter to cut. Of course, Shmuel's actions are consistent with the last words on Yudzayin Amabez, where Shmuel said, we follow Rabbi Yossi la halacha.
Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, ubiginustera aser. What is prohibited is to do it with a scissors. To cut them with a scissors is prohibited. Amar Rav Shemen Bar Abba, hava kamina kamed Rabbi Yochan, bein midrasha b'cholo shel moed. I was in the base medrash of Rabbi Yochan chal moed, v'shaklinu l'tufrei b'shine, v'zarkinu. I saw that Rabbi Yochanan took his nails off with his teeth, and he threw them away. Shmamina tlas, and I learned from this three things. Shmamina, mutalito tziparnaim b'chal shel moed. Number one is you're allowed to cut your nails on chal moed. Shmamina ein b'hem mishum miyus, and it's not considered mo'us to throw away. Ushmamina, excuse me, it's not considered mo'us to take it with your teeth. Ushmamina mutal zarkan, and also it's permissible to throw away the nails. Ask the Gemara, eini. But didn't we learn, this is in Nida, Yud Zayin Amar Alpha, Tanya, we learned in Braisa, Shlesha Dvarim Nemru Bitsiparnaim, there are three things that we said in regards to nails. Hakovran Tzadik, someone who buries them is a Tzadik. Sofra Sarfan, if he burns them, Chosid. Zarkan, Rasha, but if he throws them away, he's a Rasha, he's not supposed to throw them, to either burn them or bury them. Taima Mai, what's the reason? Shema Tavarlein Isha Ubra V'tapil. They were concerned that a woman who is pregnant is going to step on them. However, there was no problem for in Rabbi Yochanan's case because Isha Be Midrasha Lo Shchicha. It's not common for a woman to be in the Beis Medrash, and therefore there's no concern about a pregnant woman stepping on them. This, of course, is the source to this day of not leaving nails around. Obviously, the punishment of Isha Ubra V'tapil is something that we don't understand. Alpi Nigla, it seems to be an idea. Alpi Nistar. And it's interesting to note that my mother told me that when she was a young girl, her grandfather, who was a tremendous tzaddik and chassid, taught her some basic things. And one of the things was what she's supposed to do with her nails when she cuts them in terms of throwing them out. And this ish chassid showed her to put them, to throw them into the toilet. And if you're going to be concerned, even a base medrash, zimn and demichna sheluhu v'shadul avroi, that they're going to get thrown out of the base medrash when they are gathered together, kivan deishtani ishtani, since it changed from its place that it had fallen, so then it no longer is mazik, which some follow to this day. Again, I don't know the details of this because it's the Hilchas Hanistarim, but to this day, if by mistake a nail falls to the ground, one of the Eitzes are to simply sweep up that area, even if you don't find the nail, but Kivan de Ishtani, Ishtani. The Gemara continues three lines before the Wadan Yuchesam and Alpham, Rav Yudam Ravzuk, Bam Mechamsan Lefnei Rebbe Umar Zutra. Excuse me, Lefnei Rebbe. Umar Zutra Masni Zug Bam Mechamsan Lefnei Rebbe. Some said that was learned in a Braisa, and not that Rav Yehuda had said this in the name of Rav. Ubikshu mimenu, b'parnayim, and they asked him the shaila in regards to the nails. V'hitulahem, v'im bikshu mimenu safer, and if they had asked whether you're allowed to trim the mustache, hitulahem, he would have been matir as well. In other words, it was clear to, let's say, Marzutra, whoever's reporting this, that Rebbe held that both the nails and the mustache are permissible to God. Shmuel Amar Af Bikshu Menu Safa Vihitilem. And Shmuel's tradition was that they actually asked the Shaila about the mustache, trimming the mustache, and he allowed it. The difference between the mustache and the beard is the mustache blocks the mouth from eating if it grows very long. Amar Avital Safra Mishmei. Some have the Girsa of Derav Papa, some have Derav Mishmei Derav. Safa, the mustache, is Mutter Mizavis Lizavis, from one corner of the mouth to the other. And Rashi explains, as we mentioned before, because the whole heter is based on the idea that it will make eating difficult. And Rashi adds that if it gathers food in it, it's mos, it's disgusting. Amar Rebbe Yami ubesafa hameakeves. Specifically the part of the mustache that blocks, but not the entire mustache. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak l'didi kesafa hameakeves dami. That for me,
the entire mustache, not only the area right around the mouth, is considered like Ma'akevis, because it bothers me, according to some of Farshim, he was an Istinus. Va'amar avitol safra mishmei d'rapapa, paro shoy b'mei Moshe, hu ama. He was the height of an ama. Uskano and his beard, ama, was the length of the ama. So the famous paro was a short fellow, and he had a very long beard. Uparmashtiko, but his aver was an ama vizeris, was very large, even though he was small. L'kayim mashinemar, ushval anoshim yakum aleha, that even small men will stand up against Klal Yisrael when we don't do the Ratzon Hashem. Marvitel safra mishmei derapapa parishayi b'mei moisham gushi hayu. He was a black magician. Shinemar, as the pasuk says, hine yotze hamayma, that he went out on the water. And that's where he practiced his black magic. Ve'elu mechapsim b'moyed, haba medinas hayam, 7 lines from the bottom. And these are people that could launder on Chol Hamoed, those who come from a foreign land. Amar Ravasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, misha eino ela cholok echad, someone who only has one shirt, muter lechapsil b'cholosh hamoed, he's allowed to launder on Chol Hamoed. Matzav Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following kasha, elu mechapsim b'moyed, haba medinas hayam, we had a list in our Mishnah, those who could launder, and it mentions those who come in Dinas Hayam. We also had on the bottom line in Yugimel Mabez someone who was in prison and so on. But what's not mentioned in the Mishnah? What's not mentioned is someone who only has one shirt. Ani in Mishen El Cholok Echad Lo, one who only has one shirt. Who says that's mutter? Amar Le Rav Yaakov Le Rav Yirmiya Azbar Chol Masnisen. I'll explain to you. Afagav the Isle Trei Umitnifi, even if he has two shirts that are dirty, when he bamim dinas hayam, it's going to be mutter to launder. However, it's a davar pashut that someone who only has one, it's going to be permissible. Our Mishnah was not at all talking about Mishnah ein lo ela choluk echad. Gemara continues 2 lines from the bottom. Yichesam and Aleph Yitzchak Bar Yaakov Bar Gur Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, or Shalach Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Gur Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, was sent following psak halacha kli pishtan, if it's a flax garment that becomes dirty, mutter l'chapsel b'chol shel moed, because it's easy to wash flax. And there is no tircha. Masav Rava, Rava asked the following shayla. We learned earlier in Yudalad Amid Alf, mitpachos hayadaim, mitpachos hasaporim, when it comes to those things that are used to wipe one's hands, as well as the towels of barbers, which are made out of flax, the mefarshim say, the halacha is that one is allowed to wash them on chol moed. However, hani in, specifically mitpachos shel hasaparim, but kli plishtan lo, other flax garments are mashma, that it's aser. Amalei abayi masnisen afil d'shar mini. The Mishnah means to say other things as well. In other words, not only the barbers that are made of flax, but even if the barbers are made out of wool, it's permissible as well, because it's not a lot of tircha. When it comes to flax, Rashi is bothered, but at the end of the day, what about when it comes to wool, where there's more tircha? It would seem from the Mishnah on Yudalid Amid Aleph that the answer to that question is that since these are utensils that after immediate usage they get dirty, in other words, their whole matara, their whole purpose is to get dirty, to gather the hairs when it's the barber, or to wipe dirty hands when it comes to these mitpachos, so that you're allowed to clean, because there's no way for a person to have these things unless they're going to be cleaned on Chol Hamoed. But other garments, there's no reason to need to clean a new garment, in other words, to make it anew, if there are other garments as well, because the whole goal of the garment is not to get dirty, it's to wear. In contrast to these two mitpachos, so they're made to get dirty. But we were talking about those that are of wool, but a flax, since it's not a lot of tircha, even if it's a regular garment, it's also going to be permissible. Amar Bar Hadaya. The Gemara brings a riot to this, that Bar Hodia said, L'didi chazili yama shel Tveria, I saw the river of Tveria, demapikle mishichle demona kitana, that they had basins worth of water that had washed flax. During Chol Hamoed. So the minhag Klal Yisrael was to be makel on flax garments at Chol Hamoed. Maskif lo Abaye. Abaye says that's not always a proof. What people are doing isn't always a raya. Man leim elon de baratzon chachon mavdi. How do you know that those people who were washing in Tveria were doing it baratzon chachonim? Dilma shelo baratzon chachon mavdi, and you have no proof. Mishnah continues 7 lines from the top of the Chesam Beis ve'elu kaisvim b'moyed. there are things that you're allowed to write on moed, even though in general writing on moed, chal moed, is prohibited. Kiddushei nashim, shtar kiddushin, which of course raises the question that we learned on chesam beis, that ein nosin nashim b'moed. So Amir Tashem, our Gemara will deal with what's going on in our Mishnah. The gittin v'shovrim, and a get also could be written, as well as a receipt where a lova pays back the malva. So then a receipt is written. Daisiki is a will. Matana, star of a gift. Upruzbalin, of course, this is no inyana diyoma. According to some Rishonim, we're supposed to write a pruzbal now before Rosh Hashanah. Of course, when Shemitah comes along, it nullifies all loans, as described in Parshas Re'eh. And a pruzbal is a takana de rabbanan that appears in Gittin Lamed Vav, that, as described by the Rishonim there, allows the loan to remain. Igaros Shum, a letter which estimates from Beis Din the value of a particular field. V'igaros Mazon, and a letter of support where someone has promised to support a child of their wife, from a child usually from another marriage, where he agrees to support his second wife's child. Shtarei Chalitza, shtar that assures that a woman who was chayiv in Yibum had done chalitza, now she could get married. Umiunim, and a case of where an orphan comes of age and decides that the marriage that she was married off by her brothers and mother is one that she's not interested in, so she's allowed to annul it. Ushtar Beirurin, a shtar of Beirurim of Beis Din, that Beis Din decided to divide a estate based on a Din Torah. Xeros Beis Din, any decrees of Beis Din, v'igaros shel rishus, and a letter of the rishus, in other words, the authority, the letters of authorities, the letters of government, all of these above things could be written on chal moed. Amar Shmuel, mutar la'aris isha b'chalosha moed. Shmuel answers the question that should jump out of us in the Mishnayis and gives a simple terutz, and that is that the Mishnah on Ches HaMebeis, it says that you're not allowed to get married on chal moed, is talking about nisuin. That means bringing a woman into one's house. However, Jewish marriage, of course, has two parts to it. It has erusin. Erusin is when the man says harei mikudeshesli. In the time of Chazal, there was usually a 12-month break between erusin and nisuin. Today, there's just a ksuba break, and that is that they read the ksuba. The chasan puts the ring on the kala's finger. He says harei mikudeshesli. Then they have erusin. Then there's a break. Time of Chazal, it was 12 months, she would get ready, he would get ready, and then they would do Nisuin, in which he would bring her into his house. So the Mishnah says it's prohibited to get married because of Ein Ma'arvin Simcha B'Simcha, according to some Amiraim, is on Ches HaMebeis. Our Mishnah says that you're allowed to write a Shtar Kedushin, that's for Erisin. Why is it permissible? Shema Yikad Manu Acher, Shmuel explains, because the fellow is allowed to be concerned that someone else she's such a special bride, she's such a special girl, maybe someone else will go and say Areim Mekudeshesli. So we allow him to write Ishtar Kedushin. Lema Misayele, I'll give you the following proof. Veilu Kosvim B'moed. These are the things that you're allowed to write on Chalamoi, Kedushay Nashim. You're allowed to write Kedushay Nashim. My Lav Shtari Kedushin Mamish. We thought that our Mishnah, and that's how we read it initially, is talking about Shtar Kedushin. In fact, Rashi learned that way on the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, maybe that's not a proof. My lav Shtar Kedushin, mamish lo Shtari Psikta. This is the Shtar of Pisuk. Pisuk is what we would call today Tanoim. Ukidur of Gidol Amarav, this appears in Kedushin, on Daf Tesa Mebeis. What is a Shtari Psikta? Kama Atanosin Lebincha, kach v'kach, kama Atanosin Lebitcha, kach v'kach. The parents of the bride, the parents of the groom, come to an agreement of what each one is going to bring into the marriage. And this was once upon a time a serious document. I'll explain what I mean, that why today it's not as serious. Not because keeping your word is not serious. That is very, very serious, that the two sides have to keep their word. However, in those days they would sign a shtar tnayim about what each one was bringing into it. Kach v'kach amdu v'kidshu, and then they would get married. Kanu, so then in such a case, the Shtari Psikta has a kinyan. Hein hein dvarim haniknim ba'amira. And their words, their verbal
commitments are binding, even though they haven't done an actual kinyan. So that was what was once upon a time a shtari psikta. I said it was once upon a time because today we do have tanaim, but most particularly in America nowadays, my parents, may they be well. Unfortunately, at that time there were no fathers in the picture. Both my mother and my father did not have fathers at their weddings, so they wrote a shtar tanaim where father represented himself. His mother was very far away. He didn't have a father. My mother, her mother represented her, where they actually signed in their engagement, during what we call colloquially their engagement, they signed a shtar tanaim. And that was quite common. In fact, I was just by my parents' house and I opened up Maseches Moed Katan, and that was where their shtar tanaim was. It was inserted, my father inserted it in Maseches Moed Katan. But nowadays, by the time I got married, and when it comes to marrying off our Talmidim, we use the Tanaim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein's Tanaim is a really heavily watered-down version of the Tanaim. All it says is that there are no Tainos and Tvios between the two sides, but they don't take any obligations. The custom today is when the Chasan and Kala get engaged, they don't take any Chiyuvim one to the other. So what it is an entirely non-religious engagement in terms of there are no religious obligations, no contractual obligations that come along with today's engagement. And that's why we do the Tanaim at what's called the Chasan's Tish. Lema Misayele. I'll bring you a proof, says the Gemara, that you could do Erisin on Chol HaMoed. We learned earlier, our Mishnah we made reference to before, you can't do Nisuin, because that's Simcha. The real Simcha is when the couple is living together. But Erisin is permissible. That's not a mitzvah. That's a very, very interesting line, because there are Rishonim that do count Kedushin as a mitzvah, but the simple pshat in our Gemara is that Erisin is not a mitzvah. Elafil lisa nami dekavid mitzvah. They're doing a mitzvah. What mitzvah are you doing when you do nisuin? Rashi says you're beginning the process of pruervu, that they're moving into each other. They're going to end up living with each other, and Bezer Hashem have children. So that's the mitzvah of pruervu. Asur, that is going to be asur. So maybe, says the Gemara, there is no proof. Maybe you can't do Erisin as well, but the Chiddush of the Mishnah, the reason why we need to say on Chesam Abeis that it's prohibited to do Nisuin is I might have thought it would be permissible because of the fact that he's doing a mitzvah, and the Mishnah needs to tell us that it's prohibited over there, particularly to do Nisuin, and makes no mention of Erisin, because we never would have thought that there is a reason to do Erisin. Erisin is not even a mitzvah. But Nisuin is a mitzvah. It's motor, kamashmal, not. In our Mishnah, when it says that you write Kedushei Nashim, we're talking about a shtar tnaim. So the Gemara leaves now that as an open question. Is our Mishnah talking about a shtar tnaim or a shtar Erisin? Tashmadatan deveshmul ma'arsin avaloi kainsin. That you're allowed to do Erisin, but you're not allowed to be konis. In other words, Erisin can be done. Ve'enos and su'udas Erisin. But you don't do a su'uda of Erisin. He could say areya mekudeshesli, but he doesn't make a su'uda. Ve'lo miyabmin, and he doesn't do yibam neshi simcha ilai. Because that is also a simcha. Shmamina. So we see that Erisin is permissible. Therefore, you'd be able to be kosev kedushei nashim ashtar Erisin areya mekudeshesli. Like Rashi wrote on the Mishnah, even though the Gemara had a havamina that was not the correct pshat. But you can't make a su'uda. Asks the Gemara, Mi amar Shmuel shemikad menu acher, is the rationale, as Shmuel described, that the reason you're allowed to get married is because you're afraid someone else is going to chop her. Va'amar av yudamar Shmuel b'chol yom yom, baskal yoytzis v'aymeres, bas ployni l'ployni, stay ployni l'ployni. Every day there is a baskal that goes out. It says that Ruvain is going to marry, and who's going to own that particular field? Ella Shema Yikadmenu Acher Berachamim. Maybe he's going to convince Shemayim. He's going to dive into Shemayim and change the desire of the source of the Baskel. And even though he really was entitled to her, Klapei Shemayim, nevertheless, if you daven well, you could change the reality in heaven. Ki Ad Rava Shemulu HaGavra Deboi Rachmi, that someone was davening and he wanted to marry a particular girl. Va'amar Tizdamen Li Planita, I wanted to marry such and such girl. Amalei loti boy rachmi hachi. Don't daven for this Rava admonished him. Ichaz yilach lo azlaminach. If you're entitled to her, you'll get her. Vilo kafarta b'shem. And if you're not supposed to marry her, so then you're challenging HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. Basar hachi. Afterwards, Shamei dekamar, he heard this man davening in despondency. We see that the stories of the depths of love and desire to marry a particular woman existed in those days as well. Oh, ihu lamas mikameh? Either he, in other words, in this case he's referring to himself, I want to die first before I see her married to anybody else. Oh, ihu mikameh? Or she should die first. But I don't want her see her married to anybody else. Marlei, so Rava said to this person, lava minach lo tibayla de milsachi? Didn't I tell you not to daven in such a way? Rishonim explain, even though it's not clear according to Rashi, Marsha points this out, that it must have been that she had already married somebody else, and therefore he said that he'd prefer to die, and that Rava says, do you see what I told you? Then at the end of the day, if she's meant to be married to a particular person, she's going to be married to that particular person. According to Rashi, then what emerges as Pshat in our Gemara is the following. Shemi yikadmenu acher berachamim is not exactly the simple reading of the Gemara. As Rashi points out in Dibur HaMaschil O Ihu, that we're afraid that if we're not going to have the fellow davena on Chol HaMoed, get married, excuse me, on Chol HaMoed, then what's going to happen is someone else is going to daven that she should die if he doesn't marry her, if she doesn't marry him. But the moment that she already married him, so then in such a case, then he knows it's a lost cause. But if the fellow Shimon is so love-stricken with this girl, so then he's going to, and he knows that she's thinking about marrying Reuven, he's gonna daven that she should die before she marries Reuven. Hence, better to marry her early on. That would be the pshat of Shemi Kadmenu Acher Berachamim, Rashi explains. Of course, there are other ways of reading the Gemara. And a simple way of reading Shemi Yikadmenu Acher is that get married on Chol HaMoed, lest somebody else marry her first. In fact, that's what it seems that the way Rashi, according to the Ran, we've mentioned already in the past, that there are other editions of Rashi and Moed Katan, to the point that it could very well be that our edition of Rashi is not the real Rashi. But Rashi, in the name of the Ran, learns the Gemara according to that simple Pshat Shemi Kadmenu Acher. Vameivin Yavin, how you learn Shemi Kadmenu Acher is also going to affect how you learn V'ilo Kafarto Bashem. And take a look at the Ran, who elaborates on that point. The Gemara continues, three lines before the wide on the bottom, Yuches HaMebeis. Amar Rav Mishum Rebbe Reuven Ben Itzra Boili. Min HaTorah U'Minaviim U'Minaksuvim Mehashem Isha L'Ish. We have sources in Torah, Neviim, and Ksuvim that a particular woman is destined for a particular man from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tichsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vayan Lavan u'Besuel v'yomer me'Hashem yotza davar. Even Lavan and Besuel said that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'shidduch. Min HaNeviim, Tichsiv v'ave v'ima lo yadu, ki me'Hashem hi. The parents of Shimshon did not know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had destined that Shimshon marry a Philistine woman. Min HaKsuvim, the Pasuk in Mishle says, base v'hoi nachlas avos u'me Hashem isha maskeles, that a person can get money from his inheritance, but the only way he could get a wise woman is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. V'amar avar b'Hashem Rabbi Reuven Baritz Reboi v'amal masnis antana, amar Rabbi Reuven Benis Reboi, ein adam nechsha bedavar, elim kein aso. In general, people aren't suspect when it comes to an aveira unless they really did it. Vimlo asa kulo, and even if they didn't do the whole avera, asa mikzasa, they didn't part of it. Vimlo asa mikzasa, and even if they didn't do part of that avera, hira belibo, they must have thought of that avera lasos. Vimlo hira belibo lasos, ro acherim shasu v'samach, and if they themselves did not even have hira of that avera, they heard that others had done it, and they had rejoiced. In other words, when people are nechshad bedavar, it's a time for them to make a cheshvan nefesh, even though it's not true. Masav Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov asked the following question. It says, "Vayichapu v'nei Yisrael dvar ma'shaloi kein al Hashem elokein." that the Bnei Yisrael said terrible things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he had abandoned them, and so on and so forth. This comes from Malachim, and that's not true. Those things are not true at all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Klal Yisrael was choshud on these things. Hasam, and so if there were choshed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is there some truth to that about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hasam, answers the Gemara, l'hachis hu da'avid. There they weren't choshud at all. They just did this to anger. If it's just being done to anger the person, and the choshed doesn't really believe at all that the nechshad did it, so then in such a case, that does not apply. Tashma, I'll give you another proof. It says in Tehillim, Vayikanu l'moshe b'machne Aaron kadosh Hashem, which literally means that Moshe sought in a holy kanoz to defend Aaron against the attacks of Korach. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak Amar, Shmuel Yitzchak explains, Melamed shekol echa kina l'ishto mimoshe. The Chazal Darshan that here, because of the reference of Kino, that every man was choshesh that Moshe, God forbid, had done aver with their wife. So there, Moshe Rabbeinu was beyond reproach entirely, that all of those things were false. Ad kedekach, it wasn't even ro'u achayim sha'asu v'samach. So what do we see? That there are times that there is a nechshad, even though that nechshad did nothing wrong. So says the Gemara, another exception, hasam mishum sinu hu da'avid, if it's done mitam sinu, so then there isn't truth about the nechshad as well. Tashma, Rabbi Yossi, yeichelki im mi shechoshenosa bedavar. Rabbi Yossi said, if you're lucky to be choshed bedavar, that people are choshed do avera, and to get embarrassment in this world, ultimately, that is a good thing. So what do we see? It could only be a good thing if there is no truth to it whatsoever. The ainbow, and it turns out that there is no truth to it. V'amar Rav Papa l'didi chashdin v'lo havi bi. That happened to me, says Rav Papa, and I actually had not done anything wrong whatsoever. Answers the Gemara, loy kasha, ha b'kal d'pasuk, ha b'kal d'lo pasuk. If there was a rumor that stopped, so then in such a case, then it could very well be that it's absolutely false. But if there's a rumor that continues unabated, so then there is probably truth to it. V'kal d'lo pasuk ad kama. And how long do you have to wait to see if the rumor has abated? Amr Abaye, Amr li Ein, my mother told me, Duma d'masa, the people who are choshu in the city, yomu falga. It's a day and a half. V'hani mili, and that only applies to lo pasuk beini beini. That there isn't anybody that objects during that period of time. Aval pasuk beini beini, but if there are those who object, that there is a contradictory rumor, less lamba, then it doesn't apply. V'chi pasuk beini beini, and the only time it's significant that it's been interrupted, lo amaran eld lo pasuk machmas yira, that there was a rejection of the rumor because of a fear. In other words, people were afraid of the individual that if they didn't stand up for the nechshad, then he would take retribution from them. Aval pasak machmas yira lo. But if the objection was made because of fear that the nechshad is going to step up and punish those who don't protect him, even though he's really guilty, so then in such a case, then that's not considered a pasak. V'lo amaran elo delo hadar navat. That when it is rejected, when people say no, that's absolutely false, then the rumor begins to lose some of its momentum. Aval hadar navat lo. But if it maintains all of its original momentum, then there might be validity to that claim. Velo amaran el delesle oivim. And the only time that we say that there might be truth to the rumor is if the person doesn't have enemies. Aval isle oivim oivim hu dafku lekol. But if he has enemies, then it could be they're the one who are the source of the rumors, which unfortunately today there are even good people have individuals who are jealous and are enemies of them, and therefore it's very hard to know when a rumor starts. It requires real active research to know whether the rumor is true or not. But no question, in terms of cheshbon hanefesh, as far as the nechshad is concerned, then the nechshad should be making a cheshbon hanefesh that even if there is a rumor that maybe on a certain level he is chas v'chalila guilty. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Ches. We had some very interesting things on our daf. We learned about the halachos of it being permissible to cut one's nails without a scissors on Chol HaMoed and for an avel. We also learned the permissibility of cutting a mustache that is blocking the food. We spoke about the permissibility of laundering flax, as well as we made reference to the Mishnah again, Yudalad Amabez, that that laundering hand towels would be permissible on Chol HaMoed as well. We spoke about writing documents in the Mishnah on Yuches HaMabez on Chol HaMoed, and we said, according to Maskanas HaGemara, you're allowed to write a wedding document of Harayat Mekudeshes Liyashtar Erisin, according to Maskana, because getting married is not per se a simcha, even though you cannot make a su'udas erisin. We also saw in the Gemara that getting married isn't a mitzvah. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't discuss it at all on Ches HaMabez when it tells us that nisuin is prohibited. Finally, we have the fascinating Gemara about the permissibility of marrying a woman, Shema Yikadmenu Acher, and the discussion, the Gemara, the Hashkafic discussion about destiny of being married to a particular woman, how that works, how tefillah works in regards to davening about marrying a woman, and there it gets a little bit tricky. There are different shitas harishonim as far as how that goes, and that's beyond our scope for today. And finally, we spoke about rumors, the many conditions that of when one can begin to suspect that there's some validity to the rumor, but so many conditions that the Gemara gives that we came out that for oneself, one always should make a cheshbon ha-nefesh, that maybe there HaKadosh Baruch Hu destined that rumor, that negative rumor, come out because of some slight shortcoming in the person, even if he wasn't guilty of the extremity of that Avera. But at the same time, the Gemara points out that often rumors are started because of shortcomings of the enemies or in general of other individuals. And then in such a case, then there might be no truth to the rumor entirely. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Yud Ches in Maseches Moed Katan.